So if light traveled at 0 miles per hour, the entire universe would just freeze. Like nothing could ever interact.
Right, complete stasis.
Yeah. But on the flip side, if light traveled infinitely fast, everything in the entire history of the cosmos would happen at the exact same moment.
Which is just a wild thing to try and picture.
It really is. I mean, there would be no sequence, no unfolding of space, basically no time as we understand it. But, you know, it doesn't do either of those things. It travels at exactly 186,000 miles per second. And today, we're looking at a framework that argues that specific number isn't just like an arbitrary speed limit.
No, it's the literal source code of reality.
Exactly. So welcome to the deep dive, everyone.
Glad to be here for this one. That initial thought experiment is just, it's such a brilliant kind of subversive way to enter the field of quantum physics.
Right, because usually it's so dry.
Yeah, we tend to view quantum mechanics as this highly complex engineering problem, you know, drowning in, talk about qubit counts and cryogenic cooling. But the work we're examining today from Dr. Pravir Malik in Conglomerate Magazine, it starts with that fundamental question about light.
Just a basic, almost philosophical question.
Exactly. Because the finite speed of light creates a delay, right? And that delay is what actually creates space and time. It's the boundary condition that allows our specific reality to, well, to organize itself and unfold.
And what we are doing on this deep dive is exploring how that single philosophical question birthed a completely unconventional scientific framework. Because Dr. Malik isn't just a physicist.
No, not at all.
He has this really deep background in mathematics, systems theory, and even mystical poetry, which is quite the combo.
It's a very unique lens.
Yeah, and he took all of those lenses, pointed them at the speed of light, and authored a 10-volume series called The Cosmology of Light. And that series introduced QIQD, which stands for the Quaternary Interpretation of Quantum Dynamics.
Which is just an incredibly bold synthesis. I mean, QIQD is attempting to completely redefine how we understand computation, biological form, and like the fundamental architecture of matter
Oh,
itself.
it's a lot to take in.
It is. The core premise is that the universe isn't just this random collection of probabilistic particles. It's a system that actively generates itself based on a highly specific root logic.
So if you are listening to this right now and you're maybe a bit tired of the endless tech buzzwords and you want to understand the actual patterns behind how reality organizes itself from the cells in your own body to, you know, the macro structure of the company you work for, this deep dive is going to deliver some major aha moments.
Oh, absolutely.
But okay, let's unpack this. We need to start by looking at what actually happened when Dr. Malik applied that initial thought experiment about light to formal mathematics, because he didn't just end up with some abstract equation.
No, he didn't. The article notes he uncovered a recurring generative pattern.
What?
He discovered a very specific fourfold structure. So the term quaternary in QIQD, that refers to a base four logic system.
Base four. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
When you look mathematically at how energy transitions from pure, undivided light into physical, differentiated matter, it doesn't just happen all at once.
It's not a light switch.
Exactly. The framework models this transition through four distinct phases or constraints. And what is really staggering here is that this base four logic physically manifests at the foundational level of reality.
Like down at the quantum level.
Yes, at the quantum scale, matter is organized into exactly four distinct categories. You have quarks, leptons, gauge bosons, and the Higgs boson.
Okay, and I was looking at the source material, and what really struck me is that this isn't just isolated to the quantum realm.
Right, it scales up.
Yeah, when you scale up to the atomic level, the entire periodic table of elements is structured into four distinct blocks. You've got the S, P, D, and F blocks.
Which is fascinating.
And then it keeps going. Scaling up even farther into biology, the molecular plans that make up, well, all living things on Earth, they fall into exactly four major categories: nucleic acids, polysaccharides, lipids, and proteins.
It's a pattern that just keeps repeating.
It's like discovering that the exact same four-chord progression makes up every single hit song in the universe.
I love that analogy.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter if that song is a microscopic quantum particle or a massively complex human cell. The underlying mathematical melody is identical. It's just, you know, being played on different instruments.
That four-chord progression analogy captures the fractal nature of this perfectly. Because conventional quantum mechanics often treats the quantum level as purely probabilistic.
Yeah, just random chance.
Right. We're taught to view it as this fuzzy cloud of statistical chances that only collapses into something real when we measure it.
The whole Schrodinger's cat thing?
Exactly. Mm. But QIQD completely rejects that. It proposes that the quantum level is structurally and functionally generative. It acts as an active engine, physically building reality across all those scales, from quarks to proteins, based on that exact fourfold root logic.
I do have to play skeptic for a second, though.
Sure, go for it.
Because as humans, we are fundamentally wired to find patterns, right? Even in static, we look at clouds and we see faces.
Pareidolia, yeah.
Yeah. So is QIQD arguing that this base four pattern is a literal physical structure driving the universe? Or is this just like a really elegant categorization system that we happen to be projecting onto the math?
Well, the math bears out that this is physically structural. Dr. Malik actually describes QIQD as a computational microscope.
A computational microscope.
Yeah. It doesn't just categorize things, it traces the causal mechanism of how reality physically builds itself. The framework argues that the fourfold pattern is a generative constraint.
Meaning what, exactly?
Meaning, because light travels at a finite speed, energy must step down through these four specific topological phases to become matter. It has to. To understand how reality operates, you need a framework that can actually see that generative logic at work, rather than just, you know, measuring the random statistical outcomes after the fact.
Wow, okay. Which leads us to a concept in the article that, I'm not going to lie, completely broke my brain.
The definition of meaning.
Yes. If this fourfold root logic is the literal hardware of reality, how does that hardware actually run? What is the code? And this brings us to one of Dr. Malik's most radical ideas, which is his complete redefinition of the word meaning.
Yeah, to grasp this paradigm shift, we really have to contrast it heavily with Newtonian materialism.
The old way of looking at things.
Right. In traditional chemistry or physics, a silver atom is treated purely mechanically, has a certain number of protons, neutrons, and electrons.
Just a collection of parts.
Exactly. And the conventional view is that the physical configuration of those parts inherently creates the properties of silver. Its conductivity, its reflectivity, its melting point. The parts make the whole. End of story.
Right. It's like a Lego structure. The shape of the final object is literally just the sum of the plastic bricks you snap together.
But in QIQD, that physical configuration of the silver atom isn't just a mechanical pile of Lego bricks. The physical shape and configuration act as a computational gate.
A gate.
Yes, and that gate is switching on a specific set of implicit meanings.
Okay, wait, when we say meaning, I have to jump in here, because we usually mean something subjective, like the meaning of a novel or the meaning of a look someone gives you.
Right, a philosophical meaning.
Exactly. It implies a conscious observer is there to interpret it. But QIQD is treating meaning as a literal computational substrate, like actual physical code.
What's fascinating here is that you're exactly right.
So an atom is less like a solid Lego brick and more like a QR code.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, like the physical shape of the atom, the protons and electrons, that's just the black and white squares on the sticker. But the meaning, the conductivity, the reflectivity, that's the actual website that opens up when the universe scans it.
That QR code analogy is exactly how you need to visualize this. QIQD dissolves the boundary between abstract computation and physical matter. Meanings are the actual functions, properties, and capabilities embedded in the universe itself.
Embedded in the universe. That is wild.
So the silver atom's physical configuration is merely the hardware gate that permits those specific embedded properties to express themselves in our reality.
Think about what that implies for material science alone.
It changes everything.
Right. If we view chemistry conventionally, we are severely limited. We can only combine atoms in certain ways based on their physical shape and their electrical charge. We are basically just mashing QR codes together and hoping the new sticker looks nice.
Hoping for a lucky accident.
Yeah. But if properties like conductivity or tensile strength are actually just meaning-bearing codes running on a quantum substrate, and we can isolate those codes using this QIQD logic. I mean, we are no longer bound by traditional chemistry.
Not at all. You step entirely outside the bounds of just mixing physical fluids or, you know, fusing metals. If you can understand the syntax of how those physical gates open specific properties, you could theoretically recombine those meaning codes to explore incredibly exotic new materials.
Just by tweaking the code.
Yes. You're shifting the balance of properties operating at the quantum level. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't just be computing data on a screen anymore. We would be computing the properties of reality itself.
We're talking about literally hacking the source code of the universe to generate new material functions. That is a staggering leap.
It is.
But if this fourfold root logic is universal and meaning is a physical code running at the atomic level, well, what happens when billions of those atoms form a human brain? Does that code still run when humans organize themselves into groups?
It scales up flawlessly. And this is actually where Dr. Malik's journey began.
Wait, really? Before the quantum stuff?
Years before he formalized the mathematics of QIQD, he was deeply immersed in studying organizational resilience and corporate ecosystems.
Yeah.
Yeah, he authored a whole book trilogy through SAGE, focusing entirely on fractal organizations.
That seems like an unbelievable pivot. Going from, like, internal communications of a tech startup to the fundamental physics of the speed of light, how do those even connect?
The bridge is the geometry of attention.
Geometry of attention. Okay, explain that.
Dr. Malik observed that a corporate leader's internal logic, their specific habits of attention, how they interpret stress, how they make decisions, that doesn't just stay contained within their own mind.
It leaks out.
It recursively reflects outward into the actual physical structure of the company.
Okay, walk me through the mechanics of that. How does an abstract thought pattern physically alter a corporate ecosystem?
So let's say you have a CEO whose attention pattern is highly reactive and fragmented.
We've all had that boss.
Exactly. They constantly pivot focus based on the latest fire drill, right? That internal fragmentation literally alters the communication pathways, the communication bandwidth between their executive team.
So people stop talking to each other effectively.
Right. That bottleneck creates silos. Those silos then dictate the corporate structure, which then dictates a fragmented, reactive product strategy. So the failing product launch isn't just a market issue. It is a physical manifestation of the CEO's internal geometry.
Wow.
The organization becomes a fractal expression of the leader's root logic.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because when Malik developed QIQD years later, he was basically discovering the physical foundation for what he already observed in human networks.
Exactly.
The exact same generative base four logic that dictates the organization of a cell dictates the organization of a human enterprise.
It's universal.
A framework built to explain the probabilistic nature of quantum mechanics can mathematically diagnose a failing corporate strategy just by analyzing the attention patterns of its leadership. That is incredible.
It is. And it requires completely redefining the concept of coherence.
How so?
Well, in complex systems, coherence does not mean uniformity. It isn't about everything looking exactly the same across all scales. Coherence is the preservation of a root pattern of function expressed uniquely at each level.
Okay, going back to the music analogy, it's how that same four-chord progression sounds completely different when played on an acoustic guitar versus, like, a massive electronic synthesizer.
That's a perfect way to look at it.
The instruments and the volumes change wildly, but the fundamental mathematical relationship of the notes, the coherence, remains perfectly intact.
And once you can map that coherence, you can influence dynamics that normally seem chaotic or just completely disconnected. You can trace the hidden causality connecting a CEO's daily habits to a supply chain breakdown or connecting a quantum fluctuation to a cellular malfunction.
And that transition right there from the macro scale of a corporate supply chain to the micro scale of a cellular malfunction, that's exactly where we need to go next.
Right into the body.
Yeah, we are moving from your workplace straight into your physical body, because Dr. Malik isn't just writing theoretical textbooks here. He is applying this computational microscope to modern medicine.
Specifically in the field of quantum-enhanced bioenergetics.
Right.
This is where the framework becomes immediately actionable. In traditional bioenergetics, if a cell is damaged or its energy is depleted, the crude mechanical approach has been to simply deliver more energy to the tissue.
Just blast it.
Yeah, you flood the area with power and hope the biological engine jumpstarts itself.
It's the equivalent of yelling heal at a damaged cell with a megaphone.
Exactly. It's loud and it's terribly imprecise. Dr. Malik argues that the future of cellular regeneration is entirely about signal precision.
Okay.
He focuses on pulsed electromagnetic fields, or PEMF, technology. Mm. But rather than just adjusting the basic frequency or power of the pulse, QIQD focuses intensely on the geometry of the waveform itself.
Okay, so when we talk about the geometry of a wave, we are talking about the literal shape of the energy pulse as it's graphed out on a screen, right? Like the physical curve of the signal as it interacts with the body.
Yes, and every microsecond of that shape matters. We are analyzing the initial rise of the wave, the duration of its plateau, the steepness of its collapse, and what the framework calls the transition grammar.
I want to pause on transition grammar because that is just a beautiful piece of jargon.
It really is.
We are talking about the way the energy curve transitions from one phase to the next, acting as a literal syllable in a biological sentence.
Precisely.
If a wave drops off sharply versus smoothing out gradually, it triggers a completely different receptor response in the cell. It isn't just raw power, it's a password.
It's whispering the biological password, exactly.
Yeah.
Treating waveform geometry as a controllable biological language transforms biology into an information science.
It's coding for the body.
And this is where QIQD's power as a computational microscope really shines. Because they understand the base four root logic, researchers can evaluate candidate waveforms computationally before they ever run a single physical lab test.
So they aren't just guessing and checking in a petri dish for months on end.
Not at all.
They can mathematically simulate how the meaning of a specific wave geometry will interact with the meaning embedded in the damaged cell.
They map the entire interaction virtually. They calculate the thermal load to ensure they don't, you know, fry the tissue.
Which is important.
Very. They assess the viability risk. And most importantly, they predict the exact ATP benefit, evaluating how effectively that specific geometric syllable will stimulate the cell's energy currency.
That's amazing.
They're essentially building inverse-designed bioelectric code libraries.
Inverse-designed?
Meaning they start with the desired cellular repair state and work backward mathematically to design the exact family of PEMF patterns required to unlock that state.
Mm.
It is an astonishing level of specificity.
It's treating the human body as a highly responsive quantum information system. But, I mean, mapping the meaning-bearing properties of reality at this depth and processing a biological language this complex that demands an insane amount of computational power.
More than we currently have.
Right. Traditional binary computers, even supercomputers, are going to hit a wall. We have to look at the future of quantum computing hardware to even make this viable.
Which is the frontier Dr. Malik is heavily involved in right now. He actually leads the Forbes Technology Council quantum computing community.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a group that was recognized as the best overall group in the 2025 Member Leader Awards.
So he has a front row seat to the actual engineering of all this.
Yeah.
Having hosted conversations with leaders from, you know, every major pathway, IBM, Quera, Fujitsu, D-Wave, Xanadu, Inflection, Sandbox AQ.
He's talking to all of them.
He's watching the hardware catch up to his own theory. So what is the consensus from the people building these machines? Like, are we racing toward one ultimate quantum architecture that's just going to dominate the market?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the consensus is a definitive no.
Really?
No clear winner.
The industry's finally moved past that initial theoretical hype phase and arrived at some practical executive clarity. The leaders aren't arguing about which single modality will win anymore. Malik's conclusion, drawn from all of these cross-industry discussions, is that the future of quantum computing is inherently multi-model and multimodal.
Meaning we are going to see a landscape where, like, superconducting qubits, neutral atoms, and photonics, they all just exist side by side, handling different types of computational workloads.
Exactly. The field is embracing productive pluralism. We need different physical modalities to solve different categories of problems. And what is so profound about this industry shift is how perfectly it mirrors QIQD's foundational premise.
Right, because reality itself doesn't organize through just one single mechanism.
Exactly.
The universe uses a pluralistic, multi-layered base four logic to build everything from quarks to corporate ecosystems. It makes perfect sense that the machines we build to model the universe would need to be equally multimodal. You cannot simulate the generative complexity of the cosmos on a single type of calculator.
You just can't.
The hardware is finally beginning to reflect the pluralistic nature of the reality it is trying to compute.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Whether you are managing a team and suddenly realizing how your own internal attention patterns might be physically fracturing your company's culture, or, you know, you're simply fascinated by the future of bioenergetics and hacking reality source code, Dr. Malik's work is a massive wake-up call.
It shifts your entire perspective.
It really does. We are not isolated biological machines bumping into each other in a random universe. We are deeply embedded in a universal generative logic. Through this lens, the ultimate promise of quantum computing isn't some cold machine-dominated future. It is a profoundly human-conscious endeavor meant to reveal the incredible intelligence already present in life.
Building this computational microscope allows us to finally see the coherence that connects our daily actions to the fabric of the cosmos. But I want to leave you with a challenge that builds on everything we've discussed today.
Oh, I'm ready for this.
Specifically regarding that concept of transition grammar and the geometry of the pulse, we established that the exact rise, plateau, and collapse of an electromagnetic signal dictates whether a biological cell thrives or fails. Well, you are an information system, and you are constantly receiving signals.
I love where this is heading.
If your very cells are programmed to respond to the precise geometry of signal, what is the geometry of the information, the stress, and the attention you are exposing your own mind and body to every single day?
That is a deep question.
Look at the media you consume, the pace of your workday, the nature of your conversations. Are your daily habits delivering a coherent, structured signal for your own cellular and psychological growth? Or are you just blasting your system with fragmented, chaotic noise?
That is the ultimate question to walk away with. Because if reality is built on this beautiful underlying logic, we actually have the power to align ourselves with it. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the cosmology of light and the hidden patterns of our universe. Keep asking those big questions, examine the geometry of your own inputs, and we will catch you next time.